You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Stay on the Wall by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Nehemiah, Old Testament, I believe right after the book of Ezra. I'm sure y'all were studying the book of Ezra this week. Nehemiah, for the sake of time, and I'll probably go to more detail in other scriptures, but let's go to Nehemiah, the sixth chapter. Nehemiah 6, starting at verse 1. And it reads, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had," the old English would say "build it," or we would simply say "built the wall," "and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates." Wow. I don't have to. Let me just add this because I wasn't planning on going in. The enemy heard that everything was completed, but he said, "I still have some work to do, but thank God for the rumor." "Though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gate," verse 2, "that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono.' And they thought to do me mischief or harm. And I sent messages unto them, saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?' Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort." Look at this. "And I answered them after the same manner." I want to speak today from the subject, stay on the wall. Look, somebody say, stay on the wall. Now, I'm going to tell y'all what has prompted this. What has prompted this is to me is all the people who I see doing clapbacks. Because somebody said something. Because somebody tweeted something. Including our president. Okay, and he said, everything starts, he sets a tenor for the country. He really does. Some of y'all don't realize that whether you acknowledge him as your president or not, because of the office that he stands in, when he speaks certain things and acts a certain way, it permeates through the whole country. And so we're living in a time that everybody got a clap back. Okay? And people will let you know, "Don't mess with me, I'll clap back." Okay? And so everybody thinks that you need to respond to everything. But I'm telling you, the more mature you are in Christ, the less you clap back. Now, it is a hard thing in the flesh not to clap back. But we are not in the flesh if you become in a Bible study. Because we are spiritual and not carnal. As many as are led by the Spirit. Now don't tell me that the Holy Ghost told you to clap back to all these folks. Now, the Lord told me to tell them, no, that's your flesh. That's our flesh. And people will always try to get you to come down from your wall. Your wall, in this context, represents your assignment. What God called you to do. Where God called you to be. What he told you to focus on. Your assignment in life. Your job. Your occupation. Your mission. Your endeavors. The higher things that you're trying to get done in life. All that is your wall. Look at your neighbor and say, "Know your wall. Know your wall." And people will always attempt to get you to come down off your wall. Now, in the context of this scripture, Nehemiah, who had been the king's cupbearer, meaning he had there was probably no one as close to the king as his cupbearer. The cupbearer was one of the most trusted people on the king's staff. It was also a highly dangerous job. because as the cupbearer, he brought him his drink, he brought him his wine, but he also was assigned to sample it. Sample it both for taste, sample it for quality, and to sample it to make sure it wasn't poisonous. So he was the guinea pig. If he died, then obviously we can't give this to the king. How would y'all like that job? But one day, while he comes to serve the king, you know, when a servant should look happy, servant should look like he's ready, willing, and able, and happy to serve. And the king looks and said, "What's wrong with your face? What's up?" He said, "Look like you're sad. Look like you got some issues." He said, "I do." Why? And I mean, this really shows he had relationship the way he addressed the king. As you think about it, he said, "Why shouldn't I be sad when the walls of my city been burned down? And that there's no gates there, and Jerusalem is just a reproach to everybody." And the king said, "Well, what you want me to do about it?" He said, "I'm glad you asked." And pulls out his list. "These are all the supplies I need. This is how much money I need. This is the papers that I need, what we would call today permits. And this is how much time is going to take me." And so the king releases him. And he gives him a set time to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. One of the first things he has to do, he has to rally the people together. Because he can't do it by himself. If you are a leader and no one is following you, you're not a leader. You're just going for a walk. A leader has to be able to motivate other people to get involved in the mission and the vision that they feel that God has assigned them to do, but it can't just be for his or her benefit. It's going to have to benefit everybody who gets involved with it. And so one of the first things he does, Nehemiah the second chapter, verse 17, he says, "And I said unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste," Nehemiah 2:17, "and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproached, that folks won't laugh about us and talk about how we've just been overtaken by another country and how we have no power and the pride of Jerusalem is gone." Verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of God which was good on me." I told them that God told me to do this. I told them that God has anointed me to do this. And also the king's word that he spoke unto me, that the king has given me permission to do it. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Everybody say good work. "And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite and Geshem, when they heard it, they laughed us to scorn." Can I tell you, whenever God gives you a vision, it's always going to be somebody laugh at you. Whenever God called you to do something, it's always going to be people who do you think you are? What makes you think that can happen? You from the projects. You from the trailer park. You from down by town. Nobody knows who you are. You don't come from a family of money. You don't come from an educated family. You're from down in Lodibar. What makes you think you can accomplish this? And they laughed them to scorn. He said, and they despised us. They despise them. They made little of them. Can I tell you, people, there's always going to be people who laugh at you. There's always going to be people who despise you, who you still got to ignore their laughter and ignore them despising you. Because success is the sweetest revenge. So while they're despising you and laughing at you, if you stop to, "What you laughing at? What you laughing at? Y'all laugh back at you?" No, see, you need to be building. You need to be on the wall. And look at this. They laughed us to scorn. They despised us. "What is this thing you do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Now, he didn't know the king had already given them permission. See, people think you can't get stuff done, but they don't know the Lord already told you to do this. "Well, who do you think you are?" "I don't think I'm anybody. I just know God's hand is on me." And they thought that he was rebelling against the king. Verse 20, then answered I them. And he said, "Listen, I'm not thinking about y'all. I'm not letting y'all affect me. I'm not studying y'all," as we used to say. "The God of heaven, he will prosper us." Say that. Say, "The God of heaven will prosper us." The God of heaven will prosper you means I'm not depending on you for my success. Ah, glory to God. You got to know that the people laughing at you, that the people despising you, that the people rejecting you, that the people with all this talk, you are not depending on them for your success. God will prosper me. And God can prosper me despite you despising me. God can prosper me despite you laughing at me. God can prosper me despite you gossiping about me. God of heaven, he will prosper. Therefore, we his servant, we're going to rise and build. But you're going to have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. You're not going to have anything to do with this. And so they got busy. They're building the wall. They're building the wall. And five different times while he's building the wall, Sanballat and his Confederate friends, no pun intended, to the south. That comes to work at the commentary, the Confederates. They challenged Nehemiah five times and the Jews to meet them in the plain of Ono for battle. All he's trying to do is build a wall. I ain't trying to fight nobody. This ain't about fighting. I'm building. Say this. Say, I don't have time to fight when I'm building. Can I tell you, there's always going to be somebody who wants to pick a fight. Pastor Chandler and Byron, come up here. When I grew up in the projects, we used to like fights. We used to advertise fights. Kids would bet quarters on fights. We tried to start fights. Not necessarily that you had to be in, just to watch. It would be notes going around school. I remember in the third grade, notes going after school. So-and-so going to be fighting so-and-so at this place. That's some hood stuff there, y'all. Y'all don't know nothing about that down here. And then sometimes it can be two people who completely loved each other. They were friends. But we would do this thing called bad man hit my hand. He hit you. Some of y'all missed it. Bad man hit my hand. He hit you. Then you get up and they supposed to start fighting. Somebody said, that's some sick stuff right there. But we would just agitate. Y'all can be seated. Bad man hit my hand. If you bad hit my hand, then I hit him. And that's that. And they go to fight. There's always going to be somebody who wants to pick a fight for whatever reason. Oh, sometimes people like to fight because they ain't smart. If you can't talk, you'd rather fight. If you can't think, you'd rather fight. Because you think that shows you got something on somebody. Five times. And Nehemiah was equal to the emergency and he attended strictly to his work. Come on down and fight us. He stayed on the wall. Then Sanballat with the Jews in Jerusalem who were with his confederates and those who were rallying against Nehemiah. They attempted one time to entrap Nehemiah in the temple, but the scheme failed, which is very interesting because I went and looked at that. And so the implication is someone who was supposed to be like a prophet in the temple. Speak to Nehemiah and say, come on down to the temple. You know, the Lord wants you to come to the temple. And Nehemiah said, but I perceive God wasn't in it. Oh my God. You got to understand that everybody who professes to be spiritual, God ain't in it. Everybody who give you a word, God ain't in it. Some people, they're literally witches. Witches try to manipulate. Where we think witches always got brew. No, witches will manipulate with their words. and try to manipulate relationships and manipulate people and spread rumors to break up people and try to control people. One time we were dealing with something in our church. I said, God, in all the years I ain't dealt with it. And the Lord told me, you got a Jezebel up in here. Now, when I came along with Pentecostal church, any woman wearing a red dress and red lipstick, we said, that was Jezebel. Now, that's just too obvious. Jezebel is not about makeup and a color. No, Jezebel had to do with a spirit. Jezebel couldn't stand to have anybody have the advantage over her or look like they had more than her. And she tried to manipulate people and control people and buy people off. And then when she couldn't do that, she started killing people off. Nehemiah stayed on the wall. Every scheme failed. How do you respond? How you respond to haters is a measure of your maturity. Let me say that again. How you respond to haters is a measure of your maturity. 2 Timothy 2nd chapter, verse 23 through 26. Man, this is planned. It's supposed to be one message, so I got to move here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. Paul writes to Timothy, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He says, again I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. Some of y'all need to highlight that in your Bible. I didn't know that was in the Word. Don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. Paul says, you are a man of God. You are a pastor. Historically in church history, we see that Timothy was really a bishop over a particular area and cities. He said, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fight. Stay above the fray. Stay on the wall. Verse 24, because a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Come on, if you need help, raise your hand along with me and say, Lord, help me be kind to everyone. Able to teach and patient with difficult people. Paul said, you got to stay above the fray. Which tells us there are some people who it's not easy to be kind to. There's people you don't want to teach. You rather punch. And there's some people who are just too difficult for you to deal with. And Paul still says, no, you got to deal with all these people. Especially in the church. So verse 25, he says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. And perhaps God will change those people's hearts. Can I tell you that some people's hearts and minds only God can change? Your argument ain't going to change. You fighting them ain't going to change. You clapping back ain't going to change. Some people, the only people that are going to change them is God. He said, perhaps, I mean, it's not a guarantee. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they'll learn the truth. Verse 26, then they will come to their senses. That tell me they were crazy. That tells me they was out of their mind. That tells me, watch it, they weren't thinking soberly and thinking straight. But then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Paul said, you got to recognize when the devil's using people. And don't try to fight a spiritual battle with natural weapons. They used to say it this way, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Though we walk after the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Mighty through who? God. Mighty through who? God. Mighty through Facebook. God. Mighty through Twitter. God. Mighty through Instagram. Mighty through Facebook Live. No, then mighty through God. There's some stuff only God can handle. And you're going to look immature by responding to every hater. Can I tell y'all something? Haters gonna hate. And they were hating before they ever posted it. They were hating before you ever knew that they hated. And so, but we live in a society now where people have the opportunity to express to everybody their thoughts and their sentiments. People didn't just start being that way. They just start making it public. Y'all need to catch that. It's not that people are more hateful. No, you just know more about the hate. They're expressing it more. They're verbalizing it. They're verbalizing it on social media. Because if people verbalize stuff on social media who will never say something to your face. I think they call it cyberbullying. They will never say it to your face. And so, you can't clap back regarding everything that everybody says and everybody does. And everybody's not going to understand you, and they don't need to. So, how did Nehemiah stay on the wall? Number one, he knew God's hand was on his life. Nehemiah 2nd chapter verse 18. He knew God's hand. He said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. You can put your mouth on me, but God's hand is on me. And your mouth on me don't change God's hands on me. Woo, glory to God. Your mouth on me don't cause God to remove his hand from me. God's hand is on me despite your mouth being on me. He knew God's hand was on him. In other words, he knew I'm called to do what I'm doing. I'm anointed to do what I'm doing. And no weapon from hell and nobody saying something or tweeting something or gossiping about it is going to stop it. God's hand is on my life. Come on, anybody know God's hand is on your life? Glory to God. When you know God's hand is on your life, man, that gives you boldness. That gives you confidence. God's hand is on my life. And as a matter of fact, that's why you don't like me. You don't like me because you already see God's hand on my life. And you know you can't stop it. So you think if maybe you can just distract me and pull me into this minutia stuff. But God's hand is on my life. I told them. The hand of God was good upon me. And I told him of the king's words that he had spoken. And I said, let us rise up and build. So we strengthened our hands for this good work. And because God's hand was on him, he knew he would prosper. If God's hand is on your life, you will prosper. You will be effective. You will reach your goals. If God's hand is on your life, people will come and people will go. But if God's hand's on your life, you're going to be all right. People will support you and people will withdraw their support from you. But if God's hand is on your life, you're going to be all right. Glory to God. Men will come and women will come and women will go and men will go. But if God's hand is on your life, you're going to be all right. That was for somebody who went through a divorce. You got to know God's hand is on your life. Glory to God. And I'm not going to let the fact that you didn't realize. I heard Bishop Jake say something. Man, this is going to bless somebody. He said, if you can go on without me, surely I got to be able to go on without you. Oh, that ain't that good right there? Oh, surely I got to be able to go on. If you can go on without me, surely I got to be able to go on without you. Oh, you going to be all right and I'm going to be stuck? Oh, the devil is a liar. God's hand is on my life. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Look, somebody say, I'm going to be all right. God's hand is on my life. Secondly, watch this. It's going to bless you. He knew he wasn't doing anything illegal. He knew he wasn't doing anything illegal. He said, Sambai and Tobias said, you want to rebel against the king? They said, you're doing something illegal. He said, no, this is legal. I got authority to do this. Now watch this. Why are you defending yourself against something that's legal?
Has God given you an assignment and it seems that people or distractions are trying to deter you from it? Nehemiah had an assignment to build a wall for Jerusalem, but distractions came. In this powerful message, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you to stay on the wall and remain focused on what God has called you to do. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Stay on the Wall. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.